Let's read this morning from God's Word, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, this in connection with Lord's Day 40 of the Heidelberg Catechism on the sixth commandment. God's holy and inspired Word at 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeing his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. So far we read God's Word this morning. It's on the basis of 1 John chapter 3. And in accordance with all of God's Word, that we have the instruction of the Catechism in Lord's Day 40. Lord's Day 40, questions and answers 105 through 107. 105 asks, what doth God require in the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill? That neither in thoughts nor words nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge, also that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. Question 106 asks, but this commandment seems only to speak of murder. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that He abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and the desire of revenge, and that He accounts all these as murder. Question 107, but is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No, for when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and to prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at this Lord's Day using as our theme this morning the commandment itself, thou shalt not kill. And the three points that we consider this morning are the commandment's basis, the positive requirement, and the negative prohibition. The commandment's basis, the positive requirement, and the negative prohibition. Those two switched around. The negative first, and then the positive second. With this Lord's Day 40 of the Heidelberg Catechism, we come to my conclusion of preaching the Heidelberg Catechism in its entirety for the first time. When I got here at Trinity and started preaching through the Heidelberg Catechism, we began with the seventh commandment in Lord's Day 41. When I reflected on that for a bit, I remembered one of the main points that I made on that first sermon that I preached on Lord's Day 41 with respect to the seventh commandment. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that that main point I made is just as true with respect to this sixth commandment. And I vividly remember making that point regarding the seventh commandment, and it was this: that we live in a society and we live in a culture that has so perverted the seventh commandment. And we live in a society and a culture that is just saturated through and through with those perversions of the seventh commandment. And the more I thought about it, the more I came to the conclusion that just as much is that true for the seventh commandment as it is for this sixth commandment. I think the seventh commandment is the stock response that you would get to the question of what commandment has this society and culture just totally perverted and just throws at us at every angle. Sex, everywhere, in everything. But it's just as much true for this sixth commandment. The world has taken this sixth commandment and twisted it in such a way that it puts it before us in almost everything. We see it, for example, in the movies and in the TV shows and in the video games. It's everywhere. It's in the literature as well. We see how that world takes it, perverts it, uses it as a form of entertainment. Thou shalt not kill, God says, but yet the world takes that and twists it. But also our society is knee-deep in violations of the seventh commandment. You can't read the newspapers without reading violations of the seventh commandment. We see it on a grand scale. In the past year, there were at least two major shootings in which many people were killed, one in Colorado, one in Connecticut. But not only those grand events that make national and even world news, but even on a local level. How often do you turn in the newspaper and read about stories where one took the life of another? And all of that is not even to mention what the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes so well, and that is everything that stands behind those actual murders. The envy, the revenge, the hatred, and the anger. Beloved, we're in a society and a culture that is knee-deep in violations of the seventh commandment. And that's not surprising, because if you turn to the Scriptures, we see that this has been true since the very beginning. We read 1 John chapter 3 this morning, and that mentions the first murder that ever took place in the history of mankind here on this earth. Cain, out of hatred and anger for his brother Abel, killed him. The first set of brothers from the first parents on this earth. And then even more at the beginning of the history of this world. Genesis 4, verses 23 and 24. The wicked Lamech said unto his wives, interesting there, wives, violation of the seventh commandment. But he said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, 70 and sevenfold. Bragging to his two wives of the murders that wicked Lamech committed. What began at the very beginning, Abel, Lamech, and undoubtedly others besides them, has continued all throughout history to today. So that here we sit this morning, saturated in our society with murder. The temptation for us right now is to hear that 5 or 6 minutes and say, well, yeah, that's true, but what does that have to say about me? I haven't murdered anybody. My name isn't in the newspaper because I took the life or injured another person. And that's where we need to look very seriously at ourselves and be humbled by the fact that in our hearts we are no different. And that's the beauty of the Heidelberg Catechism's treatment of this sixth commandment. The commandment, in an unmistakably clear way, shows that this sixth commandment is not just a matter of the outward action of killing another, but it's all about what's in our heart. So that every one of us sitting here this morning and can say, my heart, as it is in the old man, is not one bit different than the heart of the man that took a gun and killed another person. Then we see the importance of this sixth commandment. And then we understand why it's critical that we hear this word of God to us this morning. He says to us, thou shalt not kill. So what stands behind this commandment in the first place and what makes it necessary for us to hear this commandment is the fact that this is perverted so much around us. And it's our heart and it's our nature to kill. We need to see in the second place that there is a basis of this commandment that lies in God Himself that makes this truth very important for us. What stands behind this commandment with respect to God begins with His sovereignty. We confess to believe in a sovereign God. And what it means that God is sovereign is that He is in control over absolutely everything. To put it negatively, there is nothing that stands outside of the control of God. He determines all things in His eternal counsel and in His power and in His wisdom. He carries everything out in His providence. God is God. I said when we sang the first Psalter number that we'd have opportunity to reference Psalm 115, there we read in verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. You can't say that about any other person, and certainly any other supposed God. God is sovereign. To cite just one more text, we can go to Daniel, the book of the Bible that we're preaching through in the evenings. Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's words in verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? In the armies of heaven, the things heavenly and spiritual, God reigns and God rules. When it comes to this earth, the same can be said. None can stay His hand or say, what are you doing? God is God. Because God is sovereign over absolutely everything, the next point that we can make from that is that God is sovereign particularly over life. God is sovereign in the giving of life, and God is sovereign in the taking of life. And it's that truth that stands behind this sixth commandment of God's law. As the sovereign God, God determines who will have life and when He will give that person life. That's a truth that we must not lose sight of, because there are so many things that are said and so many things that the world does that puts blinders on us to that truth and makes us forget that truth, that God gives life. That started in the very beginning. It was God who, with His own hands, from the dust of the ground, formed Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. It was God that took the rib of Adam and from that rib created woman. And it's God from that point on to this present day that has given life to every single individual that walks the face of this earth. That's a truth that is attacked by the world today. The rhetoric that you hear in the world today is that of family planning, the idea that by what we can do and by what we can use, we are the ones that can determine when we will have children, if we will have children, and how many children we have. And really, when that's the rhetoric that you hear in the world, the conclusion that you come to is the one that's in control here is us. We make those decisions, not God. Beloved, that's the farthest thing from the truth, and we need to hold on to this truth, that it's God that is the giver of life, and all it takes is to talk to a couple who struggles to have children or is not able to have children, and then you know it doesn't just happen. It's God that gives life. God gives life, and God takes life. He determines when a person's life on this earth is to come to a close. In His wisdom, He has a purpose with every person, whether that be 3 weeks in a womb, 3 months in a womb, 3 years on this earth, 33 years, 99 years. God determines when life comes to a close. He's sovereign over all of these things. The sixth commandment is based on that truth, because when someone says, I'm going to kill that person, in the end what they are doing is rebelling against the sovereign God that says, I gave that life and I will take that life when His time comes to a close. By murdering that person, you are rebelling against that sovereign God. It's the sovereignty of God, especially over life, that stands behind this sixth commandment. There's one more truth that really stands behind the teaching concerning the sixth commandment, and that is the truth that we are to love one another. Love, obviously, is the summary of the second table of the law. Love your neighbor. We just read that after we read the commandments this morning. But in a unique way, that's what stands behind this sixth commandment. Follow the logic. God says to us first, I love you. I loved you in eternity in Jesus Christ. I loved you so much that I sent my only begotten Son to suffer and to die and to save you. Because I love you, you, my people, in return, love me. Show that love in everything you say, everything you do, everything you think. And now, to show that love as well. Love one another as yourself. And the opposite of killing, and we'll get to this a little bit more in the third point of the sermon, the opposite of killing is that of love. Instead of hating your neighbor and killing your neighbor, you love your neighbor. Beloved, what stands behind this commandment is the fact that we are called to love one another and to love even our enemies, as the Catechism makes clear. So for those reasons, it's important for us to hear the application of this sixth commandment of God's law. It's our nature. God is sovereign, and we're called to love one another. So let's get now into that application, seeing, first of all, what's forbidden in the sixth commandment of God's law. The sixth commandment does not forbid all killing. When you first read the sixth commandment, as it's recorded in Exodus chapter 20, if you don't have the rest of the scriptures, and if you don't know the actual Hebrew word that's used there, the conclusion that you would come to is that we are not allowed to kill. Across the board, thou shalt not kill. That's not the truth of the scriptures. And that's even evident from the word itself. There's a slew of words that are translated in the Old Testament as kill. And this word in particular is translated in other places probably in a better way. It's translated murderer or manslayer. And the idea of the word kill then is that of unlawful, unauthorized killing. The reality is that all killing is not forbidden by God. Unlawful killing, unauthorized killing, in other words, murder, is what is forbidden by God in this sixth commandment. There are exceptions to the commandment, thou shalt not kill. And it's worth taking the time this morning briefly to see what those exceptions are. The first exception to the commandment, thou shalt not kill, has to do with the government. The government is given the right, and even at times must, according to God's will, kill. The government is given the right to kill the murderer. Romans 13 makes it very clear that the government has a sword power and they are called to exercise that sword power. So the first exception to this commandment, thou shalt not kill, is the right that the government has given to them by God with the sword power. The second exception to the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is war. The Reformed faith has always taught that war is a legitimate way in which another life may be taken. If a country is called to go to war against another country, and if a Christian is called to do that, they must not feel guilty for taking the life of another person. That's not a violation of the sixth commandment of God's law. The third exception to the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is that of self-defense. If your life is at risk, and if your life is about to be taken, you can kill another human being. Obviously, we pray that we never are put in that position. But if it ever is there, God says that that is not a violation of this commandment of God's law. That doesn't mean we go actively seek it, but self-defense. Very clear distinction there. What's interesting about looking at these exceptions is that all three of those really lay out the fundamental principle of this sixth commandment. And the fundamental principle is that of life and preserving life and doing good for one another. All three of those exceptions have standing behind it that very point, which is the preservation of life. Sword power used by the government. Capital punishment. That's a just judgment upon the one who commits the crime, but it's more than that. It's the preservation of the life of the society so that it doesn't happen again and more lives aren't taken. War, the second exception. A country is called to go to war against another country for the very purpose of preserving the life of the citizens of its country. Self-defense, the third exception. The purpose is not the killing of the attacker. The purpose is the preservation of one's own life and the life of their family. The exceptions prove the rule. And the point of the sixth commandment is don't take the life of another, but preserve that life. Do good for the lives of one another. Beyond that, there are things that are forbidden in this sixth commandment. And we can categorize what's forbidden in the sixth commandment in two ways. We can speak of murder in deeds and murder in the heart. And both of them have application for us this morning. Murder in deeds first. I think if we take the truth of this sixth commandment as it applies specifically to this, murdering in deeds, the one thing that probably has a potential to ring home for us is that of abortion. And a word needs to be said in this regard this morning. What makes abortion the heinous sin that it is in the country we live in all throughout the world is that it is murder. It is the unlawful killing of a human being. We must not sit here this morning and say that that's something that only the world will ever do and that it will never be found in the Church of Christ. Young women, young men, you need to listen up at this time. Don't say to yourself that this is something that would never run through my mind if we came to that situation. In the unfortunate situation where there's a violation of the seventh commandment first, someone gets pregnant before marriage, don't think that this isn't a temptation to abort that baby, to preserve the shame that may come along with it. It will be a temptation for both the man and the man to pressure the woman and possibly the woman to say, this is an easy way out here. Nobody needs to know what happened. Here's an opportunity to do that. We must not think ourselves above that possibility. What you need to know is that there is forgiveness. There's forgiveness for that first sin of violating the seventh commandment. Will it be hard to make that public? Of course it will be. But you need to know there's forgiveness from God and there's forgiveness from the body of Jesus Christ so that that doesn't lead you to even think about potentially doing this. God says, don't take life. And that's one way. It's so very easy to do so. And let's make sure that we follow God's word in this regard. That's one application when it comes to murder in deeds. Murder or hurting in deeds. The other is what the Catechism says regarding ourselves. Also, I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. We're talking here about actions that we may perform that hurt ourselves. And for young and old alike, we need to be very sensitive to that phrase in the Heidelberg Catechism. And we need to ask ourselves very seriously, young and old alike, am I doing things willfully that are hurting my body and exposing myself to danger? There are ways in which we can hurt ourselves. And included here is the whole matter of suicide as well. And we need to, if that's the path we are going down, seek help and make sure we deal with that in the way that it needs to be dealt with. And we need to know that God loves us. That's what stands behind this. God loves us. And therefore, as we love our neighbor, we love ourselves and we preserve ourselves so that we can be instruments in the kingdom of God for good and for the encouragement of one another and for our families and for our loved ones and for the praise of God's name. each one examine ourselves very carefully. Are there ways in which we are willfully exposing ourselves to danger and hurting ourselves? Murder in deeds. The Catechism does a marvelous job of laying out the second section here, which is murder in heart, murder in thoughts, murder in words, murder in gestures. Catechism really, in questions and answers 105 and 106, just lay that out very nicely for us. It's not just an outward action, but it's a matter of our hearts as well. We saw that in the passage of God's Word that we read this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 said, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Hating, God reckons as murder itself. Just to look at one more passage that lays that out, the words of Jesus in the sermon that he preached, recorded in Matthew 5 through 7. Matthew 5, verse 21 says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Both of these passages make it very clear this is a matter of the heart. We've seen that with all of the commandments. Last week, in connection with the fifth commandment, honoring father and mother, we drew that distinction between honoring and obeying to make this point. It's a matter of our hearts. And that's what the Catechism says to us this morning, and God's Word says to us this morning. Are we murdering each other in our hearts by what we think and by what we say? All of those thoughts that stand behind the actual murders that you see in the world today are found in our hearts. The Catechism lists some of them. Envy. Do you go to school every day and you look at the other classmates and are you envious of them? They're smarter than me. They're more athletic than me. They can play an instrument better than me. They have more of a social standing than me. And I'm envious of that. I want that for myself. And you hate that person because of that envy. Hatred and anger towards one another. You see somebody and because of what they have done to you, maybe in the past, maybe right now, you hate that person. You wish bad on that person because of what they are going through. What is so surprising, beloved, is how we can have that hatred and we can think those thoughts and we can say those words out of hatred for the ones that are closest to us. A husband and a wife, parents and children. It's shocking that we more readily will cry out in anger and out of hatred, those words to a wife or to a husband than any other person in this world. Really quick to say it when it rises up in our hearts, when it's towards your wife or your husband. The person that you love most in this life, probably. But yet, those are the people that we so easily can express this hatred and anger towards when things aren't going well. Anger, hatred, envy, revenge. How much of that is present among us? Trying to get back at people because of what they did to you. Beloved, these are all of the things that cause us to reflect upon our hearts and say, are these things in my heart? And are these things in my thoughts? And are these things expressed in the words that I speak? Jesus says to us this morning in Matthew 5, it's no different than taking a sword in your hand and killing that person. That's what God forbids in this fifth commandment. But He requires something. And the great requirement is that we love one another. And that's the answer to question 107. Instead of having that anger, hatred, envy, God commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to do good to our neighbors as ourselves. Beloved, that's what needs to swell up in us and motivate us as we go forward from this sixth commandment. That we look at one another and we look at even our enemies and we say, I'm going to do good to that person. And we can do good with respect to that which is physical. And we do that as a congregation. That's what these offerings are all about. And the benevolent fund. How can I do good to my neighbor? And our neighbor, we didn't get into that this morning, but our neighbor is that one that is closest to us and those with whom we have contact. How can I do good to them physically? This is part of it, giving of our offerings. But it goes beyond that. In any way that we can care for one another and preserve life and do good to physical life here on this earth. But that's not the most important thing. It's love for our neighbor that seeks their spiritual good as well. So that as parents, we go forward seeking the spiritual welfare, not just the physical welfare. That can receive most of the emphasis sometimes. The spiritual welfare of children. As friends with one another, we want to do good to each other. So we seek their spiritual encouragement. Beloved, that's the teaching of the sixth commandment in a positive way, that we show love, patience, kindness, meekness for one another in the body of Christ. And we do all of that because God first loved us. God loved us. And He did that good to us and He preserved our life. He gave us physical life, but now He preserves our spiritual life through the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His work. And Jesus Christ did good and He showed love for all of His people by suffering and dying on that cross. And because God loved us and put that love of Christ in our hearts, the calling now that we have going forward, we hear this sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. We are determined not to murder in deeds, not to murder in our hearts, but we are determined to love one another. May God give us the grace to do that in our families, in our relationships with friends, in our relationships as a congregation, and with all of our neighbors with whom we come into contact. Amen. Our Father and God in heaven, bless, we pray, this word that we could consider this morning. May it find a ready place in our hearts so that we are now determined to go forth loving one another as Thou hast first loved us in Jesus Christ. We ask these things for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.